From the South Point studio, the perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
It's the over-under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to helping our nation's heroes and their families in their darkest hours. When a first responder or veteran doesn't return home and leaves behind a young family, Tunnel to Towers supports them. The foundation pays off their mortgages and lifts their financial burdens through their Gold Star Family Home Program and Fallen First Responder Home Program. Through their Smart Home Program, catastrophically injured veterans and first responders regain their independence with a mortgage-free home, specially adapted to meet their unique physical needs. Tunnel to Towers also provides housing assistance and services to our nation's homeless veterans through their Homeless Veteran Program. They are helping more than 2,000 in 2023 because no veteran should be living on the streets of the country they signed up to protect. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices made by our nation's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter to you all. It is Easter Sunday, of course, and along with that, some great action on the racetrack, limited as it is today as well, and a big major pick six jackpot carryover at Gulfstream Park to help out the horse players looking for a little bit of those hidden Easter eggs today, that's for sure. So welcome to the Race Day Show. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our South Point Studios location at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard, part of that Las Vegas Strip. We come to you live and direct from the studio. So welcome to the show on YouTube, of course, streaming the network live there. If you haven't joined us on YouTube, do it. Do it today, just in case you're listening on our other platforms like our radio stations, our anchor station here in town. KSHP Sports Talk, 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, or our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, your iPhone, Android, with your app that you can get either your KSHP at or your YouTube at that you can get, that you can watch us on YouTube there as well on your devices. And anywhere you get your podcasting, welcome to the show, and happy Easter to you all. All right, a big day of racing yesterday, and some great performances, gotta tell you. And so we're going to get started by giving you a recap of what happened yesterday. We start early in the day at the Maidan Racecourse, the Dubai World Cup day, and recapping the stakes races there, the Godolphin Mile was won by Two Rivers Over, Edwin Maldonado, the rider there. It was trained by Doug O'Neill, who claimed this horse for $30,000 and goes and wins the Godolphin Mile for $1 million. A payoff for the Paramutuals, $31.90. The Dubai World Cup was won by Tower of London, Ryan Moore aboard, $6 even there. The Al-Qaz Sprint was won by California Spangle, $6.10 on the win there. The UAE Derby, this is the one that has 100 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. The winner there was Forever Young. Forever Young wins it, pays $3.20 as the favorite. They're on their way to Louisville for the Kentucky Derby, Forever Young winning the UAE Derby. The Golden Shehan at 6 furlongs won by Tuz at $19 even. The Dubai Turf won by Factor Cheval, returning $52.50 in a photo, a head-bobbing photo with Namur. Two long shots there, but it was just a head-bob at the wire for the winner of the Dubai Turf. And in the Shima Classic, the $6 million Shima Classic at a mile and a half on the turf, the winner there was Rebel's Romance, William Buick aboard, 32-20. So you can see there were some good payoffs at Maidan yesterday. Leading up to the Dubai World Cup, the $12 million Dubai World Cup, where Laurel River put in a flight line type of win in the Dubai World Cup, went right to the lead, extended his lead from there, and at the top of the stretch, when you thought he might be wilting a little, he just geared it in another way and just blew away this championship field in Dubai, winning this race by a zip code. Laurel River, in an outstanding performance, pays $20.70. And if you remember on the show yesterday, we were talking with John Lindo. I said, John, do you have a thought about the Dubai World Cup? And he was talking about the horses, most of the favorites there. But he did say, do you remember Laurel River when he was in Southern California? This horse's first three races, I think, were all in Southern California, and spectacular, jaw-dropping races in that. And then he went to Europe, and the next thing you know, here he is, Laurel River, winning the Dubai World Cup as the great performance that we thought we saw when he was in Southern California. Laurel River, $20.70 to win the Dubai World Cup. And Yushiba Tesoro, he was in another zip code in second. He battled for the place between Senor Buscador. These two came together again, this time for second and third place in the Dubai World Cup. No doubt about the winner, though. Laurel River, wow, what a performance there. Thanks a lot, John, for reminding us about that horse. Gulfstream Park, a big day yesterday, Florida Derby Day. We'll start with the Florida Derby. It was the last race on the card. And another outstanding flight line type of performance here, too. The winner, Fierceness, went right for the lead from the outside, improved his position from there, and then just blew away the field, galloping to the wire, train lengths. I think he won by 13, 14 lengths in the end. Fierceness is back, so to speak. You remember, he was the winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He won the Eclipse Award as a two-year-old. Had a few uneven performances this year, but no doubt about it, he'll be one of the favorites for the Kentucky Derby, owned by Mr. Rapoli, trained by Todd Pletcher, who was winning his third race of the day. Rapoli and Pletcher won three races yesterday. This is the most important one, however. And John Velasquez, how about three stakes wins on the day? This was his third stakes win there. He won as the favorite and paid $4.20. Looked like money in the bank and cattle on the ranch. Finishing second was Catalytic. And by the way, this horse ran a monster race because he was trailing Fierceness all the way around the racetrack and held second easily. Finishing third was Grand Mo the First. So much for the Florida Derby yesterday. Wow, what a performance by Fierceness. In other stakes races on the day at Gulfstream, in the Cutler Bay, the winner there was Set for Mark Cassie and Ismael Jaramillo, paying $3.20. The winner of the Pan American Stakes there was Kurtz, Christopher Clement. Joel Rosario got together for that. Kurtz has paid $6 even. and the Ghost Zapper. The winner there was Miracolo. That, of course, John Velasquez's first win of the day at 10:60 for Antonio Sano. The Sensibel Island was won by Vive Venue. That for Jack Sisterson and Javier Castellano, paying $35.60. In the Sir Shackleton Stakes, the winner there was Oscar Eclipse. Jose Ortiz's second win of the day, paying $7.80 for Brian Lynch. The Orchid Stakes, won by Muckluck. Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz Jr. getting together there, paying $4.60. In the Gulfstream Park Oaks, a race that held 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, the winner there was Power Squeeze. And Power Squeeze squeezed out the 1-2 favorite in the race and hung it right on her at the wire. Power Squeeze with Danielle Centeno for Jorge Delgado wins in an upset in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, paying $24. The big favorite Ways and Means at 1-2 on the more on 1-2 odds at closing. Ways and Means finished second. Power Squeeze just ran her down at the end. May have had an early move from jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. for the favorite there, getting nailed. And finishing third was Into Champagne. The Sand Springs was won by Caro Consort, Irad Ortiz Jr., his fifth win of the day. Two stakes races on the day for Irad. Pletcher and Rapoli's second win on the day, paying $9.80. And then the Appleton Stakes, won by Smoke and Tea for Shug McGahee, John Velasquez's second stakes race of the three on the day. And, of course, no doubt about it, big win on the day there. Shug McGahee and Smoke and Tea paid $11.20. And Jonathan Ardoon and John Lindo's pick in that race, Ice Chocolate, got into all sorts of trouble. This horse had no place to go. He was blocked and had a troubled trip throughout. Might want to keep an eye on that one. But Smoke and Tea wins in a blanket finish. There was about like six horses on the wire in this one at the end. And again, 11:20 for the win there at Gulfstream. All right, in Oaklawn Park. Now we get to Oaklawn Park. Oaklawn Park, of course, had the big Arkansas Derby. The Arkansas Derby yielding 100 points to the winner. Well, that 100 points is going to stay right in the bank because the winner was a horse trained by Bob Baffert, and you know the story there. Muth wins the Arkansas Derby. John Hernandez aboard, 6:60, outrunning Just Steel and Mystic Dan. Timberlake faltered at the top of the stretch and finished fourth in the race. And all I can say about Muth is, if you remember last year in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Fierceness won it, Muth was second. So the two horses that ran big in the Juvenile last year performed well yesterday in the Derbies. Muth wins it, 6:60 for the win there, but no Derby points for this horse. Can't go to the Derby. Undercard winners, the Fantasy Stakes, 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks on the line there. The winner there was Torpedo Anna. Brian Hernandez aboard for Kenny McPeak. What a day Kenny McPeak had at Oaklawn Park yesterday. He won four races. The trainer won four races on the card. Of course, the Fantasy was the big one for him. Torpedo Anna paid $7.40 for the win, outrunning West Omaha and Tappet Gianelli. And now Torpedo Anna has 100 points in the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard. The Matron Stakes was won by American Band with Mr. De La Cruz and John Harden, the trainer, paying $57 is a big upset in the Matron. And the Oaklawn Mile, won by Frosted Grace. Frosted Grace for Ramon Vasquez and Michael Maker, paid $14.40 in the 50-cent pick five. That started with the Oaklawn Mile, then the Matron, then the Fantasy, and then the Arkansas Derby, capped off by the last race winner paying $36.20. A 50-cent pick five paid $57,772.60 at Oaklawn yesterday. What a day there at Oaklawn Park. Aqueduct closing day yesterday of the winter meet. Boy, did trainer and owner David Jacobson have a day. He won five races, five out of the nine races, this trainer. And the last one, the fifth one, was a win via disqualification when Laughing Boy, who finished second in the race at huge odds, over 50-1, was placed first through a disqualification. And it was the longest objection and inquiry I remember in a long time, but he got the win via the disqualification. The horse paid $111 to win. The first place finisher, Messier, was disqualified for veering in about at the 16th pole, taking the path of Laughing Boy. A lot of people thought that this was a bad decision for the disqualification. I'm sure Mr. Hardoon will have something to say. My thoughts about the reason why they put him up instead of disregarding the objection was because when Laughing Boy switched paths, came back out in the middle of the track, as they moved to the wire, he was making up ground again on the horse who finished first. I think that was the reason for the disqualification. He was making up ground again after being what they called impeded at the mid-stretch. So the winner, Laughing Boy, gives Jacobson a big day at the races. And, boy, it was great camera work at Aqueduct when you saw the race, because the winning, the jockey who finished first, Gomez, was he looked in agony waiting for this decision on the disqualification. You have a pick six carryover. They didn't hit the pick six. Five out of six paid $258. But because it was closing day of the winter meet, they will have no racing today. They observe Easter with no racing at Aqueduct. This carryover will go into the Thursday card at Aqueduct when they begin the next meet. So you will have a carryover in the pick six. It will go over until Thursday at Aqueduct. All right, those are some of the results from yesterday. A whole lot more, that's for sure. We got our Easter show with Jonathan Hardoon standing by, and of course, Rich Engel check in with the final of the Elite Eight competition into the Final Four for next week in the NCAA college basketball. And again, a few interesting results in that as well. And of course, John Lindo will be with us because he has a selection for Gulfstream Park. Remember, they have a mandatory pick six payoff today and a huge carryover there. Going to be the pot is going to be in the millions of dollars at Gulfstream Park today, especially with no racing at Santa Anita because they canceled, and in a brief card of just four tracks on our racing menu today. A lot of attention is going to be on Gulfstream. So we'll be back on this Easter Sunday race day show. We hope you're having a very peaceful and safe and happy Easter. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okie dokie, we're back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Easter Sunday, and how about this? Let's go to the racing menu today. It's going to be short, that's for sure. Today's Easter Sunday racing menu, remember, the first post-entry broadcast each and every day on this menu reflect out of the Pacific time zone, so if you're in it, no problem. If you're not, adjust to it, wherever you may be. Don't want you to miss anything, especially at Gulfstream Park, like I miss Mom and Dad, especially on days like today. Okay, here we go. You ready? Here's your menu. We begin with Gulfstream Park. Now, Gulfstream Park has 11 races today. No stakes races, but 11 races today. And that big carryover in the Pick 6 jackpot, it is a mandatory payoff today. Now, the money sitting in the jackpot right now, the cash sitting there, $866,897. $866,897. But with all of the money being poured in today for the mandatory payoff, they're looking at a multi-million dollar pot on this Easter Sunday for the Pick 6 jackpot, the Rainbow jackpot at Gulfstream Park. It is 20 cents away, bet, 20 cents away, and that will begin in the sixth race today at Gulfstream. They have 11 races. First post time is 10:10 a.m. Pacific time at Gulfstream. Sunland Park. They've got all quarter horse racing today, a couple of stakes races there as well. Well, at least the last race is a stakes race, so all quarter horse racing today at Sunland. A couple of carryovers, the pick five carryover, regular pick five carryover, $160. And you've got a super high five carryover, that's a regular high five carryover as well. That sits at $181. And their first post time, Sunland, $11.25 for 9 quarter horse races. Then we go to Hawthorne Racecourse in Chicago. A couple of carryovers there. You got a Super High 5 carryover, $1,079. And you have a Pick 6 carryover. This is a regular Pick 6 carryover at Hawthorne, $1,908. You have 8 races and a first post time of $12.40. And then we wrap the foursome up with Golden Gate. Golden Gate in Northern California, Pick 6 jackpot carryover there, $37,117. First post time for their 8 race card at Golden Gate is set at 1:15, and that is your Easter Sunday racing menu today. Let's go to Jonathan Hardoon. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, let me just ask you about some of the performances yesterday and your thoughts on this Sunday morning.
Well, fire away. I'm ready. Bring them on.
Okay, the Dubai World Cup with Laurel River bottoming out a championship field.
Yeah, how many people improve off of Bob Baffert? That was quite a performance, and the horse had a flashback to what he used to be when he was in Southern California. You can't win easier than that, and that was a lot of money on the line, and congratulations to the Connections.
All right, next up, the Florida Derby, and another zip code win by Fierceness, who finally showed up to be Fastness yesterday.
Yeah, but where was all the other speed in the race? No one expected this horse to get away. Hage, breaking from the inside, had never gone anywhere but full steam ahead out of the gate. I don't know. He took hold. A lot of the horses took back. I don't get it. Listen, take nothing away from the performance. It was one of his three terrific performances. The problem with this horse is he never puts races back to back. So he's going to be a short price come Derby Day because they're all going to be looking at this performance again, which was terrific. However, the races that he doesn't run well in is when he doesn't make the lead and he has some, you know, some competition or certainly some adverse conditions in the race. He's not going to find a lonely lead in a 20-horse field first Saturday in May. It's just not happening. You know, if he can overcome it, then we'll see how good he really is. I'm far away from anointing him a champion just yet.
Now, Jonathan, you know, I think the thoughts by the camp itself thought he wasn't going to get the lead that easy because John Velasquez, after the race, said, look, when he broke, I was very confident in what he was doing. He says, I was expecting this out of him. I was just thinking, he can't be lying to me the way he works. He showed up today and he did it today. But even Velasquez didn't think he would get the lead that easy. He thought Todd Fletcher said their plan was to get away from the gate good and get an early position, but he didn't think he was going to get the lead. But when he went to the lead, I mean, and that was a pretty good accomplishment from the 10 post. As you say, nobody really went out with him. He just kind of cleared the field, and by the time he hit the backstretch, he was on the rail and rocking and rolling.
Yeah, and he was loose. And if you go back and watch all the replays of the races that he's won, he won all of these races the exact same way. And then watch the races where he got beat. Well, you know, are they going to give him an easy lead come the first Saturday in May? I don't think so. It's the Kentucky Derby. No one ever gets a clean trip in there. Very rarely. So, you know, listen, it's good when you have a favorite that you think you could beat, and I think this favorite will be vulnerable. Remember, we got post positions and everything else that goes with it.
Yep.
So, you know, let's see what happens.
All I can say, folks, is Jonathan Hardoon, unprompted, did a great tease for our Breeders' Cup. I mean, we have a Breeders' Cup one, too, but our Derby seminar with the Breeders' Cup juvenile winner that he thinks is a vulnerable favorite. So, it's great to know that Jonathan's going to have a lot up his sleeve when we do the Derby seminar here on the Friday before the Kentucky Derby, that's for sure, with John Lindo. So I can't wait to see how you're going to dissect this race, but that's what we'll have the Derby seminar for on that Friday, first Friday in May. All right, so that takes care of the Florida Derby. Now we go to the Arkansas Derby, where Muth, who finished second to Fastness in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, won the Arkansas Derby with authority, I thought, but trained by Bob Baffert, he's not going to go to the Kentucky Derby. So what say you about that?
No, Yeah, so who's suffering? The horse is suffering. The fans are suffering. Yeah, Churchill's making a fool of himself, and Bob Baffert could care less, probably. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're doing. This is one of the top three-year-olds, and guess what? He'll be sitting home May 4th or 3rd, whatever day it is, and he won't get to participate. And again, the only people being hurt is the game itself. So hats off to Churchill. Another silly decision.
You know, Jonathan, and Baffert loves to take a horse to the Arkansas Derby. He thinks it's a great race and all that. After all, this guy has won, I think now, four Arkansas.
Seven, right?
I think four Arkansas Derbies. He won one of the Arkansas Derbies when they were split. So actually, I think he won both halves, so it might count as five. But whatever the case may be, he likes this race, and his horses perform well there. I was sitting in the book yesterday talking to some guys, and it was funny because the guy behind me says, well, you know, when those Western horses go to Oaklawn, sometimes they don't perform as well. And then the guy next to me turned around and says, do you know what Baffert's record is in the Arkansas Derby? So anyhow, I guess that gentleman was leading toward Timberlake. And I think what we found out about Timberlake is maybe he doesn't want the mile and a quarter.
Yeah, that's what they're afraid of. That was the biggest concern coming in. And I wouldn't be surprised if he passed up the Derby. But listen, he has enough points. So, you know, and you only get one shot to go in the Derby. But Cox doesn't like to run in these races unless he thinks he has a legitimate shot. So I'm sure they're going to decide in the next week or two what the plan is.
Well, I can also say this about the reflecting about the horses that were runner-ups yesterday. And that, of course, the Catalytic, the horse that ran second at Gulfstream, I thought he had a hell of a performance because he was chasing that runaway leader, Fierceness, and he didn't fold at the top of the stretch. He was very well clear of the second horse, too. It looked like almost a procession in that race. And I got to tell you that kid Keith Hernandez rode a hell of a race in the Arkansas Derby with the second-place finisher Just Steele as well. That horse might have a little bit of an upside, too.
Yeah, but Just Steele also has a problem with the distance, I think. And, you know, hats off to Dwayne Lucas. He's giving the Asmussen kid a shot. There are plenty of jocks in that room, seasoned guys that's been around for a long time. But he's giving the kid a shot. And the kid really, really is improving. I mean, you know, listen, he gets to ride a million horses for his father, and most of them alive. So he has on-the-job training, and he's done a terrific job. Back to Gulfstream for a second. That Catalytic, that three-year-old, he was only making his third career start. It was the first time around two turns. Safi Joseph has done a terrific job with this horse, and, you know, he has nothing but upside potential for this horse for sure.
All right, so we get a little bit of an insight on starting to put together the pieces for the Kentucky Derby seminar and certainly the Kentucky Derby itself on the first Saturday in May. What about David Jacobson yesterday at Aqueduct? My goodness, he not only wins five races, but the fifth one is with a Richter scale winner in Laughing Boy that got it through a disqualification. Now, at the end of the winter meet, Dylan Davis won the jockey standings with 54 wins, three more over Kendrick Carmouche, who finished second. Jose Lascano had a very solid meet with 40. As far as the leading trainers, Linda Rice, 22. Rudy Rodriguez was second with 19. Todd Pletcher was third with 17. But I guess with the five wins yesterday for Jacobs, he became the leading owner of the meet with 18 winners. There's a lot of people on one side of the fence or another with this disqualification in this race.
The interesting thing, Ralph, is when a trainer will win four races in a day, usually come the fifth race, this horse is going to get overbet because everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But they let the horse go off at 54-1. It's interesting because Jacobson had another horse in the race, the seven horse, who went off, I believe, at 7 or 8-1. So they went for one of the Jacobson horses, but not for the one they put up.
Yeah,
and I think what you said makes the most sense. You said that they took him down because when the horse pulled out and went around the horse that they say crossed over on him, he didn't stop running. He didn't back up. He was actually gaining. So I guess that's going to be the reason for the takedown. In my opinion, it was a horrible takedown. You don't take a horse down in that spot for that. You're right. The horse was coming back, but I think they could have gone around three more times and he wasn't going to pass him. But that's besides the point. They put him up, and let me tell you, to wait 24 minutes or 25 minutes to make a decision, then that just makes it so much worse. It's a long day as it is. I mean, even Oakland was waiting 38 minutes between the last two races. You know, maybe because they were waiting for the crowd to empty out. I'm not sure why. They had like 60,000 people there. But you can't drag these days on. And an inquiry to take over 20 minutes, Ralph, it's either he did it or he didn't do it. Make a decision. Don't go back and forth. It just looks terrible, and it makes it that much worse.
It was almost like they were taking a straw poll voting out there whether they should do it or not. I have no idea what it is, but a lot of the players, even people that had no interest in the race, came with a decision a lot watching. And the great thing about it is they get to New York gets to show you all four angles that the stewards are looking at when they have an objection or an inquiry when they're making their decisions. And most of the people I know, you know, half of the people said, take him down, he's going to come down. The other half said, no, that's not enough, we'll keep him up. And then they sat around and waited, went out and got one of these great hot dogs here and come back and still wait for the decision, that's for sure.
They had jury deliberations. I mean, how long did it take? They were arguing, I guess, amongst themselves. I never heard. Was it a unanimous decision?
I didn't hear either. I'm sure we still don't know about that in any case.
No, well, and we never will.
That ends up the Aqueduct Winter Meet. And they're staying at the same place and all that because of the Belmont remodeling. So they'll just resume racing on Thursday with the new meet, the spring-summer meet coming up. And certainly it was a nice way to end that meet for Jacobson, that's for sure. Well, all I can say is are there any other outstanding performances on the day that you can think of that you say, wow, this was a nice win, except for there's only one winner besides the stakes races that I thought was a solid win, and that was the fifth race at Gulfstream. It was a maiden race for three-year-olds at 7 furlongs. And a first-time starter, Mind Frame, with Irad Ortiz Jr. aboard, which was one of the Rapoli Pletcher team winners. That horse won at first outing solidly. I mean, this horse put away a nice field of maidens in that one. And, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose when you have a jockey gambling for a hole. And that's what happened with your horse, your pick, yours and John Lindo's pick in the Appleton with Ice Chocolate. Just no place to go, this horse. Couldn't find room anywhere.
You're a hero if you get through, and you're a bum if you don't. Yeah. But you're right, by the way, that Pletcher, Rapoli, first-time starter, ultra-impressive. You know, he puts a lot of money in the game, and he's entitled to get some good ones. What I thought was a terrific race was the Fantasy at Oakland. I loved the way Torpedo Anna won. It was her first race back as a three-year-old. She had three races as a two-year-old. She had to overcome a tough outside post, but she did it as professionally as you can, and she's really a nice horse. She has four starts now with three wins in a second.
Well, we can kind of wrap it up by saying jaw-dropping wins by both Laurel River in the Dubai World Cup and, of course, Fastness in the Florida Derby. And a nice solid win of revenge, you might say, with the Muth winning the Arkansas Derby for Bob Baffert. We'll wait and see, though. There's going to be a lot to talk about on Wednesday after seeing how these horses come out of these races and the set plans. I would think that most of the horses that ran yesterday are now going to either go to Churchill Downs and train up to the Kentucky Derby. I don't see any of them racing between now and then. It's 5 weeks away, and we're getting close. And, of course, next week will be the last of the 100-point races. That'll be, of course, the Santa Anita Derby as well as the Bluegrass when Keeneland starts on Friday, that's for sure. All right, Jonathan.
Yeah, Keeneland's going to be the next big one because Baffert will probably take the points from the Santa Anita race. you're not going to get any points there. And if you want another shot at it, it's going to probably have to be Keeneland, I would assume.
I think he's got Maynum going for the Santa Anita Derby, right? He's got that horse ready to go.
He's got someone to blow up the plan if anybody chipping in or trying to get points. So he has a way of being a party pooper, I guess.
Well, on this day when we celebrate horse racing and, of course, whatever our beliefs are for the afterlife, we've got a great day of racing going on at Gulfstream Park. And because the peeps left all the money on the table yesterday, the jackpot was hit, but by several tickets, obviously, we have that big carryover going into today. And it'll be a multi-million dollar carryover. And remember, folks, you don't have to pick six to win if there's... The best tickets are going to win this. So if there are six, fine. If there aren't, and there's fives, and those are the best tickets, you're still going to chop up the money. It goes out the door today, those millions of dollars, and it's a 20-cent base bet in the pick six. So, Jonathan, I know you got a sheet for Gulfstream, and I know a lot of people ought to take time to get that sheet for today and put together a ticket. But what are you going to give us for a pick on the show?
By the way, if you're a New York resident, you're tough luck.
No. If you're a New York resident, just get on the bridge and get into New Jersey and bet it. That's what you got to do.
We're headed to Meadowlands to put in a ticket that they're simultaneously.
Go to North Jersey, man.
Anyway, Ralph, let's look at the 11th and final. This is a mile on the turf, and I love the number 10 horse in here, Pendulum. This is a three-year-old filly from the Brendan Walsh barn. Tyler Gaffalione aboard to ride. She's listed at 5-1 on the morning line. Brendan Walsh started to meet off very slow. However, the last couple of weeks, he really picked things up. This is second time Lasix for this horse. Back on the grass today, number 10, Pendulum. Pick six single in today's 11th and final at a Gulfstream Park.
Doggy, if you get five, you're going to have Jonathan Single hanging over you in the 11th and final race today. It's the money race. That's the money, the payoff race. The 11th race, number 10, Pendulum. Hopefully the pendulum swings to the winner's circle. And this one, the 10 in the 11th race at Gulfstream. Get the rest right now at Jonathan's website. Right, Jonathan?
JonHardoon.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe, be well. Happy Easter to you and all the listeners as well.
Thank you, my man. We do appreciate that. And by the way, I am sure that he's dusting off that soapbox for Wednesday. Jonathan, thanks a lot, my man. All right, we continue on our Easter Sunday show here from the South Point Studios at the South Point. Don't forget, we've got just a little bit more of basketball, and we got a couple of games today, so stand by. Rich Eng is coming up next. Don't go away.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to helping our nation's heroes and their families in their darkest hours. When a first responder or veteran doesn't return home and leaves behind a young family, Tunnel to Towers supports them. The foundation pays off their mortgages and lifts their financial burdens through their Gold Star Family Home Program and Fallen First Responder Home Program. Through their Smart Home Program, catastrophically injured veterans and first responders regain their independence with a mortgage-free home, specially adapted to meet their unique physical needs. Tunnel to Towers also provides housing assistance and services to our nation's homeless veterans through their Homeless Veteran Program. They are helping more than 2,000 in 2023 because no veteran should be living on the streets of the country they signed up to protect. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices made by our nation's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Las Vegas for this Easter Sunday race day show. I want to remind you what's left for points out there for the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. Well, coming up on Saturday, the Santa Anita Derby, the Bluegrass, and the Wood Memorial, by the way. Forgot to mention that top of the show. The Derby, the Bluegrass, and the Wood Memorial, the Santa Anita Derby, will all have 100 points for the Kentucky Derby at stake. Okay? Now, as far as the Kentucky Oaks is concerned, you have the Ashland Stake that's come up on Friday, and you've got the Santa Anita Oaks and the Gazelle that'll be on Saturday. They all hold 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard. And in case you they have a horse that they want to try to squeeze into the bottom of the 20 eligible for the Kentucky Derby, one last gasp will be on the 13th of April. The Lexington Stakes will hold 20 points and might be enough to get a horse in. You never know. So those are the points, the only points left before we start amassing our thoughts about the Kentucky Derby and the 20-horse field that is certain to be for this year's Kentucky Derby, the 150th Kentucky Derby run for the Roses first Saturday in May. Let's go out to Rich Eng now. Richie, good morning and happy Easter to you.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie, and happy Easter to you and all the listeners out there.
Your thoughts about anything that happened yesterday?
Well, you know, that disqualification, I put out a tweet that I thought it was a really bad call at Aqueduct, and then I heard you and Jonathan talking about it. But, you know, it's an opinion thing, and my opinion was that horse should have stayed up and that the hole was moving faster than the other horse. And if one of the Ortiz brothers was the one who had made that same move, they would have dismissed it in about 10 seconds.
You want to know something? That particular opinion you have about the Ortiz brothers and what they, I guess, quote, get away with in on New York when they're racing incidents like that is a sentiment that I heard several times yesterday in the book here. So that you're not, you know, that's not just an individual personal segment sentiment. It certainly is a lot of people like that. And since I had no stake in the game whatsoever, the only opinion that I had was the reason why they disqualified it, not whether it was right or wrong, but I thought the reason was is because the horse was coming back at the end. But nevertheless, gave Jacobson a big day on closing day of the winter meet there at Aqueduct.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable for a trainer to win five races on a day. We see it sometimes with jockeys, but they're riding. If they ride the whole card, they might ride 8, 9, 10 horses. Trainers, not so obvious.
Richie, now turning to the NCAA tournament, where we're getting into the, finishing up the Elite Eight today and going into the Final Four next Saturday, and then the final game will be a week from Monday. Boy, I could tell you, I haven't been charting or watching all of the basketball games as closely as you have, but I got to tell you, I think that Connecticut and Purdue kind of stand above whatever's left.
Well, Connecticut for sure, because in yesterday's game, if people watched that from start to finish, it was pretty even in the first half, and then Connecticut rolled out a 30-0 run to just blow that game open. And, Ralph, in basketball, whether it's high school, college, pro, you almost never see a 30-0 run where one team just dominates the other, unless it's a total mismatch. But they just overpowered Illinois. And the thing about the win, Ralph, is UConn only shot 3 of 17 from three. If they were hitting their threes, they might have won by 50. So pretty remarkable game by the UConn Huskies. And then the other game, Alabama beat Clemson, which was my pick yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really frosted me was Clemson missed so many free throws down the stretch when the game was close, and you got to hit your free throws in close games, or else the other team's going to gain a huge advantage.
You've got to hit your free throws on any game. That is an important point getter, that's for sure, because time doesn't tick while you're standing at that line for your free throws, that's for sure. All right, today we got Tennessee and Purdue, and then North Carolina State, the Cinderella-type team of the tournament so far, playing on its nemesis, Duke University.
Yeah, two quick comments, one about each game. This is by far Purdue's toughest test because Tennessee plays unbelievable defense. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I want to watch for, and I think your listeners should watch for, is watch how the Tennessee guards guard Purdue on the perimeter, because the entry passes into Edey have been so easy the first three games for Purdue. They feed him, and he's about 2 feet away from the basket.
Yeah.
I think the key for Tennessee is they have to pressure the guards so that Edey has to come out to catch the basketball closer to the free throw line. So watch out for that. As far as the Duke-North Carolina State game, that's going to be my pick. I'm going to go with North Carolina State plus the 7. Even though the chalk has just been filthy, filthy, filthy the whole tournament, mm-hmm. I'm going to go for the plus 7. These teams have played twice already, Ralph, and split the two games, so there's familiarity there. North Carolina has won 8 in a row. I'm going to take the points, North Carolina State over Duke.
All right, that is bet number 667 on the sheet here at the South Point, bet number 667, North Carolina State to continue its run. Well, not maybe for the tournament, because you got a 6-point leeway in there, 6.5, 6 points.
Yeah, it's, you know, I really think it should be a close game unless something unforeseen happens, like North Carolina State shoots 2 for 20 from three or something like that.
Now, that Kit Edie, that's the 7-footer for Purdue, isn't it?
Yeah, 7'4", and he's built like a house.
Yeah.
And so he's a tough guy to guard. Yeah. But like I say, Tennessee plays unbelievable defense, and I want to see how they guard on guard, which is, to me, it might be more important than guarding Edie, is to make him uncomfortable, to catch the ball further from the basket.
Yeah, and I could tell you this, that Tennessee, as you say, they're good on defense. Maybe they ought to try a little defense when they have the ball and get this guy in some sort of foul trouble early.
Well, he's a tough guy to drive against, because all he has to do is hold his hand straight up in the air.
No, it's like
10 feet.
It's like an oak tree standing there, that's for sure. All right. Do you have a thought about a horse today or no?
Yeah, you know what? I sent in my picks to the station about 10 minutes after 7. Mm-hmm. So obviously I had no idea who anybody else is picking.
Sure.
But I landed on the exact same horse as Jonathan Hardoon, race 11 at Gulfstream Park. My pick was the 10 Pendulum, and he pretty much laid out a lot of the reasons I thought for why I really like this horse. I think this horse will stay all of 5-1 because two of the favorites are coming from very hot barns down on the inside. But if Gaffleon can get a trip somehow from post 10, I think he's very dangerous in the stretch run.
All right, you got it, Richie. Thanks so much. But we get whenever two handicappers land on the same horse, we call that the good housekeeping seal of handicapping. And so both of you land on the 10 Pendulum in the 11th and final race, the payoff race today at Gulfstream Park. Rich, we'll talk to you on Wednesday and find out what's happening with the Final Four and the championship game for the NCAA playoff, which will be out of March and the madness and into April. That's for sure. Thanks a lot, my man.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. Now, you know, we gave Jerry Jackwist the day off because there's no Aqueduct and no Santa Anita, but he did give us a nice take on the Florida Derby, of course, where he gave out fastness and he gave two long shots to put in underneath that horse for an exacta, and one of them was Catalytic, who ran second. So that will credit Jerry for that nice exacta there at Gulfstream Park. So we'll give him the day off. We're going to wrap it up with John Lindo, though, from Southern California. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
From the South Point studio, the perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear him down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yeah. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Okay, we continue on the Race Day Las Vegas Sunday Race Day Show on this Easter Sunday. And before we get you out to go to the races and celebrating maybe a brunch or two or whatever else, that's for sure. By the way, somebody asked me off camera what the exacta paid. The $1 exacta for Jerry's winner with fastness and the second place winner paid $52.60. So $52.60 for a dollar exacta play there, credited to Jerry. And now we go to John Lindo, standing by. John, good morning. Happy Easter.
Same to you, Ralph. Happy Easter to our listeners. Good morning.
You know, I was sent the picture from a friend of mine, texted me about halfway through the day yesterday in the book that was taken outside of Santa Anita, and the sun was shining, and there was only one cumulus white cloud in sight.
Yeah, and the Dodgers were able to play an extra inning game yesterday, last night, and the Padres down here in San Diego got in their 4 o'clock game, no problem. They have outdoor sports, and they were able to finish it up.
Enough said about that. I don't want to do any more criticizing, especially on an Easter Sunday. We forgive all, and so we'll move on from there. Of course, Santa Anita will have a makeup show, makeup racing day, one of the 2 days they missed. Over the weekend, they'll have a makeup racing day on Thursday, a full card on Thursday. So we'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, weather permitting. But in any case, any thoughts about what you saw yesterday around the country?
Well, you know, I thought Fierceness did what I really thought he was going to do with the scratch of Seminole Chief. The lead was his for the taking, and when he got to the outside in the clear without any problems, you know, that's what he is capable of doing. He earned a buyer's speed figure of 110. Winning the Florida Derby yesterday. So that is huge. You know, Muth, we see doing his thing down at the Arkansas Derby, and it still bothers me that he will not be allowed to participate in the Kentucky Derby. And as far as the horse in the UAE Derby, Forever Young, the Japanese horse, he was much more professional yesterday. He changed leads, which he didn't do in the Saudi Derby. He was more tactical. And the two turns really helped him. He is coming to the Kentucky Derby, so we'll have two Japanese horses as part of that field. And I tell you what, the two horses yesterday, Forever Young and Fierceness, Ralph, the post position draw is going to be extremely important for both of those.
Yes, we will certainly see that. And there might be another 100 points that will be put back in the bank before this leaderboard points getting races are over. And that, of course, could be the Santa Anita Derby coming up. With Manum, of course, Bob Baffert's entry in that one.
Right. And again, he's another one that's not eligible for the Derby, but that will mean that the Preakness might be a pretty good race this year.
I'll bet you, huh? And you know they'll be pointing for the Preakness just to make a point about the Derby. That's for sure, no matter who wins that race. Hey, John, we got a big pick six jackpot that has to be paid off today at Gulfstream Park. And you did the work for the folks here at the South Point. There is a Gulfstream Park Lindo Report today featuring all 11 races at Gulfstream Park. And John went further. He gives you a suggestion in the 20 cents away pick six on the sheet as well. So John's got a full sheet Lindo Report for Gulfstream Park today. And, of course, a suggested pick six as well on the sheet and all the goody information at the bottom. Complete and free of charge only here at the South Point in the Racebook here. Complimentary because they love horse players, and they certainly love John Lindo's product, that's for sure. John, you got a horse for us today?
Yeah, let's go to race number 4, Ralph. In the 4th race today at Gulfstream Park, number 8, Candy Landy. I thought needed the comeback race last time, getting on the turf 2 turns at Gulfstream. Got a little tired late. You notice in the second start of her career was her best race, so second start off the layoff today. I think she'll move forward again. Look for a pace-pressing trip at 5-1 on the morning line. She's live. Number 8, Candy Landy, race number 4, Gulfstream Park.
Well, you know, there's plenty of candy being given away today on Easter Sunday, so let's make sure this Candy Landy is dandy for us. And in the 4th race, the 8 is your play. 4th race, the 8 at Gulfstream. Jan Lindo's play for the race day listeners, and that is just before the pick 6 starts. The pick 6 will start in the 6th race, so maybe John's horse will be giving us some pick 6 bankroll as well on an Easter Sunday parlay from a winner to maybe even the pick 6 today. So the Lindo Report, of course, as I say, is available here right now. Post time for the first race at Gulfstream is 10:10 a.m. Pacific time. All right, folks, no matter what you believe, and no matter what you do today, enjoy the day. It is a holiday. It is Easter Sunday. And there's one common denominator, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe in, and no matter what you choose to do today, and that is kindness. Just be kind and nice to each other out there and enjoy the day, no matter what your priorities and preferences are. That's for sure. In the meantime, from Race Day Las Vegas here at this desk, and for all of our correspondents, and our guests, of course, on this show, and for all the crew here at the South Point that helps us do this show. Without them, we couldn't do the show, that's for sure. I want to wish everybody out there a very happy Easter Sunday. We'll be back on Wednesday morning, God willing, and the crick don't rise. And in the meantime, since Jerry J is not here, our man, John Lindo, will be giving you the final sign-off for today. Enjoy the day. We'll be back on Wednesday. John?
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato and Race Day Las Vegas morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.